should we be celebrating Christmas if it wasn't the actual day Jesus was born?
What does the name Jesus mean, and where does it come from?
In today's special episode, we'll be answering your questions connected to Jesus and his birth. I'm Ruben Covarrubias.
And I'm Kenia Reyes. Bible Help Desk starts now. Welcome to Bible Help Desk. You know, Ruben, I don't know if there's ever a bad time to talk about Jesus, but I think this time is a perfect time.
Absolutely, Kenya. I can't wait to get into some of these questions surrounding Christmas and the identity and the birth of Jesus.
Yes.
So, but if you have a question on any topic that needs a Bible answer, go ahead and send it in. You can do that by calling 833-BIBLE-HD and leaving us a voicemail, or you can send in a text to that same number. If you're on Facebook or Instagram, you can message us there as well at Bible Help Desk Show. You can also drop us a message via email or through our website at hopetv.org/Bible Help Desk. Where possible, do leave us an email so we can contact you right back. Mm-hmm. So Kenya, who is joining us on this special program to answer these questions?
Well, joining us today, we have Pastor Samuel Nunez. He has served as a pastor for over 20 years on both the East and West Coasts. Besides the United States, he has lived in Mexico, Austria, France, and Switzerland. He is currently the sole pastor at the Tri-Delphia Church located in Clarksville, Maryland. Pastor Nunez, it's so good to have you once more.
Happy to be here.
Also joining us today is Dr. Keith Burton. He is the graduate professor of religion at Advent Health University in Florida. He is a former editorial contributor to HuffPost and was recently named by Christianity Today as one of the top 25 religious figures who have shaped African American faith over the past century. Dr. Burton, we are thrilled to have you, and thank you so much for joining us.
I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you.
Well, to get us started on this very special episode, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 to 7, and it reads, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." What a beautiful text, and I think we can read it over and over again and find even more beauty in it. And I love that it also inspires us to trust in this God Almighty, Wonderful Counselor. In all of our troubles, we know that we can trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you for our Savior. We thank you also for the Holy Spirit, Lord, that counselor that we can also rely on, Lord. We thank you that in you we can find our strength to continue each and every day through trials and tribulations. We place this program in your hands, and we ask that it be a blessing for all of our viewers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, with that, what is our first question?
Absolutely. Let's jump into our first question that came to us via text. And it says, should we celebrate Christmas knowing it's not the actual birthday of Jesus, but of pagan origin?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to jump right into this question on Christmas and its origin, and should we be celebrating it? Dr. Burton, I want to start with you on this question that I know I've actually been asked this question before. So
yes.
How can we answer this straight from the Bible?
Wow. So this is a loaded question.
Yes, indeed.
Because it's basically saying that it's not the birth of Jesus, number one. Number two, it's of pagan origin. So in reality, we really don't have any knowledge of when Jesus was actually born, whether it was December 25th or January 12th. We really don't know. But we do know that from the 4th century, there was a practice amongst Christians to celebrate the birth of Jesus around the time of the winter solstice, and which was very close to December 25th. And so it's for that reason that many people have an issue with celebrating Christmas. But the person asked the question, should we celebrate Christmas? Well, That's the simple response to that. No, because it's not a command. Okay. However, we can celebrate Christmas. All right. Yeah. And so why do I say that? Well, let's take a look at Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. And there were some issues taking place in the church at Rome having to do with days, what to celebrate, what not to celebrate. Mm. And in Romans chapter 14, verse 5, Paul says, one person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each person be fully convinced in his or her own mind. Mm. The one who observes the day, observe it to the Lord. And the one who does not observe the day, to the Lord, that person does not observe it. And then going down to verse 12 in that same chapter, we see Paul basically saying that each of us shall give account of himself or herself to God. Therefore, we're not going to judge one another, but rather resolve this not to put a stumbling block or to cause another to fall. And so ultimately, should we do this? Well, there's no biblical command to do it. There's no biblical command not to do it. Mm-hmm. But can we do it? Absolutely, we can celebrate the fact that Messiah has come.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Dr. Burton, that we can celebrate. Mm-hmm. And what else do we want to celebrate that the Messiah has come? What a wonderful thing to celebrate on Christmas. Pastor Nunez, I want to turn to you. As a pastor, maybe you've ran into this question. Maybe you've addressed it before. What insight can you share about Christmas or no Christmas?
It's true that in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, we don't find a specific date for the birth of Jesus. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 tells us, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king. So it just tells us basically that he was born in the days when Herod was king of Judea. Mm. And we find, again, his place of birth, Bethlehem, and nothing else about a specific date. Does that mean we cannot celebrate his birth in December? Does that mean we can't celebrate it in January? No, that doesn't mean we can't do that. And maybe the emphasis should be, again, not on what the day is when we celebrate it, but who is it that we celebrate? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's Jesus. And Jesus continues to be the reason for the season.
Great. What a great way to finish that, that Jesus is the reason for the season. So here in Christmas time, let's celebrate Jesus. Thank you so much, Pastor Nunez, for that answer. Kenya, what else do we have for questions?
Yes, our next question comes in via voicemail, so let's take a listen.
Well, it was told me that Jesus is God. I believe he's God, but I try to tell other people, and they say, show it to me in the Bible. Well,
Well, we want to thank you, James, for sending in that question. And we love it because James wants to go to the Word of God. And so we're going to help you, James, and we're going to start off with Pastor Nunez. Where can James go to find an answer to his question?
The letter to the Hebrews is a great place to begin. And this is found in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 2, 3, 4, 6, and 8. And I'll just probably read 2 through 4 that says, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Mm-hmm. Later on, we find like in verse 6 and verse 8, where it mentions that Jesus is worshiped by angels. We also find the text that many of us have heard before, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, where it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. So these are some verses that tell us that Jesus is God and that he is also sitting on the throne in heaven.
Amen. Thank you so much. I appreciate those verses. They're really clear, yeah. Concise, straight to the point. I feel like there's not much to add once you're reading, especially that one from Philippians. So thank you so much for sharing that with us, Pastor Nunez. Dr. Burton, we'd like to turn to you. We want to make sure that James has a clear answer, has all these verses that he can study. So what does the Word of God say?
Yes. And so the issue really has to do with words and meanings. And so if we're looking for specificity, we don't always get it because a lot of what we believe is based on theology and not necessarily something that can be immediately seen in the text. Mm-hmm. And so as it relates to a clear text in which Jesus is referred to as God, we see John chapter 20, 28. And here we read, and Thomas, this is after resurrection, Thomas was doubting whether or not Jesus had resurrected. But when he encountered him, we see in John 20, 28, Thomas answered and said to him, that is Jesus, my Lord and my God. Mm. And so we see this statement over here where the strong declaration is made by Thomas. Now, of course, if we're looking for this name or this appellation used time and time again in Scripture, we're not going to find it because the name, the divine name for Jesus that we find in Scripture is the Son of God. Yeah. All right. And so in Mark 1:1, for instance, we see the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Luke 1:32, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David. 1 John 5:20. And we saw that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Mm-hmm. And so there are a number of texts in Scripture. If we're looking for something specific, we're not always going to find it, mm-hmm. but there is enough in there on which we can build our theology of the divinity of Jesus Christ.
Excellent. Thank you so much for that explanation. And I think it's perfect for all of our viewers who love to study the Word of God. Dr. Burton has just said the best thing that we can do is to get into the Bible and to find different verses so that we can build an answer to our questions.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much, Dr. Burton.
That's what we want them to do, to dive into God's Word. So let's go into our next question that came to us via text. And it says, if Jesus is the only child of Mary, how can Jesus have brothers and sisters? Very straightforward question. Pastor Nunez, let's start with you. How can Jesus have brothers and sisters if he's an only child?
That's a great question. And to give it some context, we can go again to the Word of God. Matthew chapter 12, verse 46 tells us the following. While he was still talking to the multitudes, and this is a reference to Jesus, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside, seeking to speak with him. The reference to the only begotten, we find that in John chapter 3, verse 16, a verse that many know as well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And the word for only begotten is the Greek word monogenes, which means one of a kind. And truly, there's only one Jesus. There's no one like him. He is fully God and fully man. Wow. And he is shown, or he's the Son of God, and he's the only Son of God.
Wow. Amen. So powerful to take us that way and seeing that one and only, there's no other person or being like Jesus. Thank you so much, Pastor Nunez, for that answer. Dr. Burton, before we go to break, was there anything else you'd like to add to this question?
Yes. Now, of course, I just want to say quickly, the question itself assumes that Jesus is the only child of Mary. Mm. And of course, there's a long history behind that thought, the doctrine of the Immaculate Conception, etc., and the perpetual divinity of Mary. Mm. And some people believe that Mary was Joseph's second wife, and so that the brothers and sisters were not necessarily Mary's children. Mm-hmm. But there is no biblical text to say that she only had one son. Mm-hmm. And whatever the case is, though, we do rejoice in the fact that he is our brother And he didn't just have a few brothers and sisters. He's got a whole lot of us, and I'm one of them.
Amen. Thank you so much for that answer, Dr. Burton, and for putting a little more clarity to this question. Thank you so much.
Before we go to a break, I want to let you know that Hope Channel has a gift for you, and that is free Bible guides. If you would like to know more about what the Bible has to say about various life-changing topics, do visit our digital Bible study portal at hope.study. If you would like to receive Bible studies through the mail or even in person, you can also just give us a call and leave us your address. We'll be back with more questions and answers after these messages. Don't go away.
Have you ever wondered if there was more to life? Do you have big questions with hard-to-find answers? The Discover Bible Guides are Hope Channel's free gift to you. These 26 beautifully illustrated guides cover major themes of the Bible and answer some of life's deepest questions. Visit hopebiblestudy.org or call 888-446-7388 and begin your journey to discovery today.
Welcome back. Bible Help Desk is here to answer your questions from the Bible. If you have a Bible question you like answers, you can go ahead and text us your question or call us and leave us a voicemail at 833-BIBLE-HD. You can also message us via our Facebook or Instagram accounts or visit our website at hopetv.org/BibleHelpDesk.
Today, our panelists answering your questions are Dr. Keith Burton and Pastor Samuel Nunez. So let's get started with the next question.
Absolutely. Let's get into our next question that came to us via text. And it says, is Jesus a pagan name? Where did it come from? And what does it mean?
Interesting.
Oh, very interesting question that we can start off this segment with. So Dr. Burton, is Jesus a pagan name? And what does it mean? What does the Bible say?
Well, let's go first to the Bible, Matthew 1:21, and we read here, and she that is Mary will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, the reality is Jesus, as I said, it is actually an English name. You know, in the Greek, we read Iesus, okay? But Iesus itself is a translation or a transliteration of a Hebrew term, which would be either Yeshua or Hoshea. Now, there are some people who teach that the word Jesus means son of Zeus, etc. But I'm not going to go into the linguistic argument here, but it really doesn't fit the rules of Greek grammar, because if it meant son of Zeus, it would be Hiodios and not Iesus, etc. And so it's basically just the same name for Jeshua, for Yeshua, for Hoshea, for Joshua. That's what it is. Nothing in paganism at all. And it's basically a word that we use to translate a language that we, most of us, don't speak.
Ah, well, thank you so much for clearing that up. I'm learning a lot here now with the Greek, and we can see how some people can get a little confused there when it comes to this name and considering it pagan. But thank you for clearing that for us. Pastor Nunez, anything else you'd like to add to this question on Jesus's name?
Yes, I agree. It's a biblical name. And we have also Luke chapter 1, verse 31, when Gabriel speaks with Mary and tells her, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. And it's a very special name because it means the Lord saves. Amen. And this is exactly what Jesus came to do.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. I love it when we answer the questions with the Lord saves and such inspirational stuff that our viewers can hold on to. So thank you so much for that answer.
Excellent. Our next question comes in via text from Nancy, and it reads, if Mary and Joseph took Jesus to Egypt after his birth, how could they be in Jerusalem to have Jesus blessed in the temple at the same time? Dr. Burton, we're going to turn to you. We want to know how these events happened in chronological order. We want to make sure we have our stories correct. So what does the Bible say?
Okay, yes. So this is actually a chronological question. Mm-hmm. When are these things happening? So let's take a look very quickly at Luke chapter 2. And actually, there are only two Gospels that speak about events surrounding the birth of Jesus, Luke and Matthew. And they both give different details. And so there are some things that we find in Matthew that we don't find in Luke. So I'm going to start in Luke 2, 22 through 24. And we read this. Now, when the days of her purification, that's Mary, purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Now, I just want to jump down to something else here, to Leviticus chapter 12. When did this take place? Leviticus chapter 12 lets us know. Leviticus chapter 12, reading from verse 1, the Bible says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a woman has conceived and born a man child, then she shall be unclean 7 days, as in the days of her customary impurity she shall be unclean. On the eighth day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be uncircumcised. She shall then continue in the blood of her purification 33 days, and she shall not touch any hallowed thing nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purification are fulfilled. And so day 40 is when Mary would have gone into the temple. Remember, Luke says that Jesus was born in a stable. We'd like to say he was born in a manger, but no, Mary was too big for the manger. Born in a stable, placed in the manger, all right? And so what happens now when it comes to him going to Egypt? Now, Matthew talks about the trip to Egypt. So Matthew 2:13, it says, now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Now, when does this take place? Well, a couple of things that we notice here as we look at the text again. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11 says this. When the wise men had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. So at this time, Jesus is no longer in the stable. He is in a house. Mm-hmm. Now, how long was it before they moved from the stable into the house? We don't know, but Matthew 2:16 may give us an idea. In verse 16 of Matthew 2, it says, then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise man, was exceeding angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in its districts from 2 years old and under. So we don't know how long they were living in that house, at what time they moved from the stable to the house, but for Herod to tell his murderers to go and kill everyone who 2 years old and younger, they may have been in that house for a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. Mm. And so, no, we don't have the exact dates, but we do know that there were different locations that Jesus was mm-hmm. when these events happened, and it could have been as much as 2 years after he was actually dedicated in the temple.
Wow, Dr. Burton, thank you so much for taking us through this entire timeline and giving us details also that can help us in understanding the placement of these events. We thank you so much. And I just love when we learn more about the Word of God, when we learn more about the stories that we find there. It's so important. And I appreciate that our viewers are also studying the Word of God. We want to turn to you now, Pastor Nunez, if there's anything that you would like to add that can clear up even more this whole chronological order of things.
No, I think he gave a great answer to this question and was very thorough. Yes, it had to have gone, days had to have gone by. And in this situation where the wise men come, and I'm sure, you know, they're coming from far away, so they're going to stay a while. They're not just going to come and see him and give him the gifts and see you, because they have a long ways to travel. So I like his answer.
All right. Thank you so much. And it also explains so much when we talk about this time of the year, when we talk about the birth of Jesus, to further understand these details.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Pastor Nunez.
I love diving into these questions and learning more. Let's go on to our next question that came to us via text from Dan. What was Jesus doing during his childhood days? How old was he when he was known to be the Son of God? What a great question. I know that it seems like biblically there's an empty space there on Jesus' childhood. So Pastor Nunez, is there anything that the Bible says about Jesus' childhood and when did he transition, if you will, to being his next phase?
So there's one text in the Gospel of Luke, again, that tells us something about his childhood and something that he did regularly was to go to Jerusalem with his parents. And we find this in Luke chapter 2, verse 41. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And we know this story where Jesus then speaks with some of the rabbis, some of the teachers, and they're amazed at how much he knows. But he takes a little too long, and his parents leave the city, and they find out he's not with them. So they return to Jerusalem, and then they tell Jesus, why have you done this to us? Mm-hmm. And that's where we find the verse that tells us that it is important to be about my Father's business. Mm. And so we find Jesus here recognizing that he's doing the work of his heavenly Father. He recognizes that he is there for a purpose with a mission. And we also have another text where at least Mary, from the very beginning, knew that Jesus was special, that Jesus was the Son of God, because Gabriel revealed it to her. And we find this in Luke chapter 1, verse 32. And it speaks about Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David. Mm. So, yes, Jesus knew that he was the Son of God, and he had a mission to fulfill, and he did it.
Amen. He knew his mission, and he knew it. Thank you so much, Pastor Nunez, for that answer to this question. Dr. Burton, I want to turn to you here, put a nice bow here at the end of this question here, in the end of our program, on this question on Jesus' childhood.
Wow. And so we do know, based upon the last question, that he did spend some time in Egypt. All right. Then after Egypt, he was in Nazareth with his family. As Pastor Nunez says, every year he went to the pilgrimage, the Passover pilgrimage in Jerusalem, and came to an awareness of himself at the age of 12. But I find what's also interesting as we close, Luke 2:52 says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and humanity." And so what did Jesus do? Increase in this fourfold way. He probably continued his studies. You know, yes, he was the one through whom the world came into existence, but he had to learn how to read. He had to learn how to write. And it seems that he continued increasing in wisdom, in stature, probably working with his father in the carpenter shop, and in favor with God and humans. Had his religious life gone, his spiritual life, and probably played a little ball every now and then too. He was a social person too. So there's a whole lot that he was doing during those times that we really don't read about. But this text gives us some insight in a comprehensive way.
Wow. Mm. Thank you so much for that answer, Dr. Burton. We can see that Jesus did have a childhood. It's very similar to ours in learning and growing, education. Yeah. And so we thank you so much for that as we went through this program on Jesus' life. Thank you both of you, Dr. Burton, Pastor Nunez, for your answers to these questions.
Yes, and we want to thank our viewers for watching and sending in those questions. Keep sending them in. And until next time, take care.